A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us on the last 1 hour of the morning crossfire. I am Sheriff Quadri, and I'm happy to be here. Let's get on with our conversation. We started this conversation, as a matter of fact, this show at 5 a.m. this morning, just so you know. If you're just tuning in, we usually start at 5. And once we start like that, it's conversation all the way. All the way, and we terminate the show terminates at 9 in every weekday here on Nigeria Info 99.3. So let's get started on the conversation this morning. I've got joining us on the show Mr. Dennis Amakri, retired assistant director with the State Security Service. He's been a security professional for about 32 years. Both in public and, of course, industrial security practice. Mr. Dennis, good morning to you, and thank you for giving us your time this morning, sir.
It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Let's jump right in. Let's start from when the option of military intervention was put on the table by ECOWAS. What was your reaction then? Would move on to the next stage now, but let me first get your reaction concerning the option of military intervention in Niger.
Thank you very much for that question. You know, that first step was... I think ill-advised, because we've done this before, and when we are trying to talk about or talk people who have just staged a coup in their country, we usually go there, talk to them, see reconciliation and everything. But, excuse me. Going straight to tell them that they're going to be attacked after so many days if they don't revert back, I think was a wrong step. And I think that was what emboldened the coupists, because they felt that, oh, okay, you want to do that, then bring it on. You know, and at the same time, you find out that countries that are under military rules, like Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, quickly came out to support them too, because they feel that ECOWAS, to be very honest with you, I think in a way there's this school of thought that ECOWAS does not have the moral integrity to, you know, even talk about people who are trying to form a coup.
I mean, Mr. Dennis, I've heard that argument as well. But another area I would like for us to look at is, why do we have so many coups in the sub-region within a very short period of time? You are a security expert, and there's something called intel in your space. If things like this, you know, I mean, if we're talking about one coup, it's one thing. But right now, we're talking about how many? 3-4 in the sub-region? Yeah. I mean, what does that tell about governance in the sub-region?
It tells you much about governance in the sub-region. You know, when you do a security analysis on this kind of situation, you find out that, the fundamental variables that come to play are poverty, unemployment, of course, with their senior brother, corruption, graduates unemployed and all those kind of things, high cost of living and stuff like that. You know, so when you have these situations present in society, then it becomes a real problem whereby... the other day we were talking about the judiciary being the last hope of the common man. And then, of course, across West Africa, you find out that the judiciary has not lived up to their expectations. And if that, the last hope of the common man, is not a hope any longer, then a lot of people look at military to intervene. Although people will say, yeah, military government is not a government that we want, but is the only viable alternative. And then you find out that something like this happened, people come out and dance. I have gone through so many coups in Nigeria. You know, and most of the coups, especially in Nigeria, where when people come out and they start dancing on the streets, that tells you that it's a popular one. It's a popular one. And we cannot like other people's country more than they like it themselves.
And you know, this also points to my next line of question, because if you look at, Mrs. Dennis, if you follow the trajectory of what you have just said now as to the reaction of citizens of these countries, in Mali, in Burkina Faso, in Guinea, and now in Niger, it was almost like, you know, people celebrated, at least some of them, if not all of them, celebrated the interventions, let's put it that way now, of the putschists in the affairs of their country. The most recent was that of this Niger, when countries in the sub-region were saying, look, ECOWAS will have to intervene. You find indigenes of countries that still have their government intact warning their respective government of resisting the temptation of going to go and find, they call it, you know, battle that is not our battle. That's what you heard in Ghana. That's what you've heard here in Nigeria and most other countries that are within the sub-region that are part of the ECOWAS movement. So it's almost like the ECOWAS leadership don't have the blessings of their independent countries to go into Niger. Why is this so, Mr. Dennis Amakri, from security standpoint now?
Yes. ECOWAS leadership, you know, should have looked at themselves very well.
Yeah.
Because when you come out and say you don't want coups, because, you see, I think most of the West African heads of states who sat down to say, okay, if you don't revert back to civilian rule, we are going to intervene, are basically scared. They are scared of themselves, of their own government. There are people there who have ruled for 30 years, 40 years, you know, who have been there very old and, you know, and they feel that, oh my God, if this fire, you know, that is raging, is burning my neighbor's house. The possibility of that fire coming across into my house is very possible. And I think that analogy is very, very true when it comes to other people, especially look at Ivory Coast, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, we have very serious issues there. So these are the problems. Nigeria, we just had a new president, you know, and that's why I was saying that for them to now all decide that, oh, the new man who is a fresher should become the chairman, I think is suspect because you want him to become chairman. And now look at it. Even our Senate is not in agreement with that kind of decision.
Right. Right. Mr. Dennis, please hang on. Let's take a few calls because I'd like to get Lagos's thoughts while I give you some time to rest. I can see that you've got a bit of cold this morning. Thank you, regardless, for giving us your time, despite that you've got a cold. But let's take one or two calls. Then I would come to you, Mr. Dennis, because I'd like to get your thought on the pronouncement by the ECOWAS military chief about them picking a date. That's what they said in Ghana. We'll come to that, but let's just pick one or two calls at this juncture. Lagos, you can chime in on the show this morning. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71900 for the ladies. Please make it short and straight to the point. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
Yeah, this is better for my job. Hello?
Please go on.
Yeah. Go on.
Actually, they say concerning the issue. Actually, they say democracy is government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I think what has happened in Niger is a democracy. To me, it's a democracy.
To
if
you.
That people are happy with it. So democracy, it is the government of their people. They wanted it. So if it's a democracy, it's not a military rule. Thank you.
Thank you for calling me. Well, you know, the truth is, it is not democracy because the people there, you know, weren't elected by the people. That's what they, what you've defined is a process, the beginning of democracy, election, the electoral process. That's what it means. Good morning to you.
Shirley, good morning.
Morning to you.
You're up and down line.
Let's hear you.
My advice, there is no need we in Nigeria or the president should support going to Niger to fight. Surely, we have a lot of problems facing us here. How did ECOWAS help us to fight bandits, Boko Haram, in our own country?
Mm.
Look at the news you read this morning, that bandits kidnapped our students. How many of them? Then we have want to go to war with another country.
Mm.
We should reason well now. We are facing a lot of problems in here in our own country.
Mm.
We are facing insecurity. We are facing economic meltdown. Mm. Why do we want to waste our resources? Where people are suffering here, we are talking about how to help other people. You can see the citizens of the country are rejoicing. What is our own effort? Let us bring something home that will benefit the common man. Thank you.
Thank you for calling me. And just so we're clear, ECOWAS or ECOMOG, if you like, they will not come, you know, for internal security issue like bandits or what do they call it now? Insurgents and all of those things. That's why you have your own military to take care of that. I mean, it's not that's not within the mandate of ECOWAS, you know, to do. Just so we're clear on that one. And other countries, too, they are going through a lot internally. Good morning to you. We can't hear you.
Good morning, Ogashiri.
You're going to have to call me back. You're too low, please. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
How was your night, sir?
It was okay.
Thank you. What I want to say is that instead of them giving them that ultimate that time, why can't they address why these people is hungry? Mm. Why army came to the scene? Then address those things for the suffering of the people.
Mm.
So that is what I see in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you to you for calling. Appreciate it. Mr. Mercury, let me come to you now. And there's one conversation that I know have been going around concerning this Niger and ECOWAS. People seem to think that ECOWAS is about to go into Niger to go and fight a proxy war. What have you heard?
You see, one thing is this: if you don't look at the root causes and the background of some of these wars that we want to jump into, then you might go there and suddenly discover that you are in trouble.
Mm.
You know, because what we are having here might be a proxy war, a serious proxy war of the superpowers in Niger. Because, you see, we have found out that United States, countries like the United States, United Kingdom, you know, are not very much interested in Africa's development, you know. And they've said it in many even open source information where you see that many of them are telling you that anything about Africa is third priority is not very, very important.
Mm.
But when they jump out to tell you that, they want to, you know, fight on this kind of stuff, then you know that there are serious national interests of these countries, you know, because remember that Niger, although it's one of the poorest countries in the world, is one of the richest too, because uranium is down there, you know. And then, of course, another one is the Trans-Saharan pipeline that is going from Wari all the way down to Morocco, from there to Spain.
Right.
You know, so all these things are things that are of serious interest to the Western powers. And they are telling us to go and fight. You know, they don't like military governments, but I can tell you one funny thing. If you go to Sudan, there's a military government there, fully supported by the United States. How can you support military government in Sudan, but at the same time, you don't want the one in Niger? Okay, why don't you support the one in Burkina Faso? You know, so these are the things, and we are Africans, and like they say, we have serious native intelligence, and we should sit down and know why. You know, why these people are so much interested in a desert country, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Indeed. And that's a very valid question, to be honest with you. My next question is, don't we already have the answers? Do you think, Mr. Macri, that we don't know, that we don't have the answers to this question that you just asked?
We have the value. We have those answers. That's why there's a coup. You know, we have those answers. That's why there's a coup. And funny enough, right now you have very young officers, you know, especially the one in Burkina Faso, who have, in St. Petersburg, where they just came out from a summit chaired by Putin, he was very bold to say it. You know, this is, we are ending imperialist situations. We don't want any imperial control any longer. We want to deal with everybody on equal terms, you know, because we are also a sovereign nation, you know. So the answers are there. And funny enough, you're hearing, you said that, why are we having so many coups recently? We are having so many coups recently because the enlightenment is spreading. A lot of people are very much aware of what's going on there.
I mean, if we're that aware, if a lot of people are aware, is it safe to say that the president, President Bola Tinubu, is also aware? If he's aware, why is he championing this cause? Because he's the president of ECOWAS. I know he's the president. He's the chairman of ECOWAS. Yes, I know as well. But does it mean that he must be compelled to follow the military intervention plots to Niger? Is he compelled to do that?
You know, like I said, in a way he was compelled to do that because he was the chairman.
Yeah.
And people were deciding that let's intervene and make sure that this thing don't spread. And then, of course, you are the chairman. You are going to give the order for us to go ahead. But you remember what happened in the Nigerian Senate? When he went there, they told him, sorry, sir, we just cannot do that. You know, there are too many things at stake. Economic life of the people there, the trade that is going on, the cultural, religious affiliations that we have, we cannot see ourselves going down there fighting people because of these superpowers. Because many people didn't know that the superpowers were the ones that are behind it. But now everybody knows. Because when the coup first happened, nobody knew. Even the coupies didn't tell us, this is why we are removing President Bazoum, you know. But now we know. So everybody is now talking about it, and they know exactly where we are.
Mr. Dennis, well, let's take one or two calls as we prepare to head out for a quick break. Then I'll come back after the break, and we'll now talk about the date. They didn't exactly reveal the date to us, but they said they've picked a date. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, the implication of that alone. But let's speak one or two calls now. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning to you.
Chief, good morning, sir. Hello, sir.
Please go on. We're listening to you.
Okay, thank you very much. This party member of his team will not do us any good. I hear Chief Macri speaking now. We have people like Chief Mike Ejiofor. You have people like Captain.
Let's hear you. Let's hear you quickly.
Okay, good. Why not get this type of people? You can hear the advice the man has been giving. He's talking peace. This is a man who has something to do about security, but you just jump out. They are giving them 7 days. Where does it happen? So get people like this into the system. They will tell you what to do. I want to thank Chief once more. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chris. Thank you for calling. Let's take this one here. Morning to you. Oh, that call has dropped. We're going to take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. We can't hear you. There's something wrong. I think you called earlier. We can't hear you at all. Morning to you. That call has dropped. Let's take another. Good morning to you. That one has dropped as well. I'm not exactly sure if it's telephone line or the connection out there. Let's try one more time because I'd like to take one as we head out. Morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, this is Shola on the line.
Let's hear you.
Yeah, no, I think at this level of understanding of the world and Africa, everybody should know that this is Western countries are only after their own interests.
Mm.
You see, I've been doing a little bit of reading and digging, and I heard that France has been digging the yellow cake, popularly known as uranium.
I need to go now. I'm really sorry. Do try and call me back. We'll talk some more. Lagos will be back.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info. We're reaching you live from Victoria Island, Etim Inyang Crescent, to be precise. I'm Sharif Quadri, and we're talking about the possible military intervention in Niger and the implications for Nigeria. I've got the former Deputy Director of the State Security Service, Mr. Dennis Amakari, on the show this morning. I've been having this conversation all morning. You're very free to join us. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us. If you'd like to call in to share your two cents on this conversation, feel free to take down these numbers, 0700-993-993-993. We've got a female-only line, which is, of course, 01465-7190. Mr. Dennis, thank you again for giving us your time this morning. Let's go straight into my question about when the military chiefs of ECOWAS came together last week in Ghana, and they said they've picked a date. What does that mean, really?
Please is that for me?
Yes, Mr. Dennis, yes.
Please come in with that question again.
Yes, last week the military chiefs in ECOWAS countries, ECOWAS member states, came together in Ghana, and they said they picked a date for the intervention in Niger. What does that mean?
Well, they have to, you know, it's the military, they have to obey orders. But the point is that looking at the whole situation, I don't think that they will actually go out to do the strike.
Hmm.
Because the Nigerian Senate has said no.
Hmm.
Of course, you have to know that it's the Senate that will approve the expenses, the funds that they are going to use. And then, of course, if there is a strike force like that going out there, there will be other countries which are also contributing. And Ghana, for one, has said, no, they are not going to contribute anybody there, you know. So you find out that, unlike ECOMOG, where Nigeria carried most of the body, I don't think they are ready to do that now, because Nigeria has its own problem, you know. So it's very, very unlikely. Very, very unlikely that there will be a military strike.
Okay. I mean, essentially, that's what I wanted to know. Like, what does it mean about we've picked a date, but we're not going to disclose what the exact date is? But I kind of like subscribe to what you have said, because it would take the National Assembly to give approval. The National Assembly has said, no, they're not going to do that, at least for now. That's what we know, which means that the date that, you know, was picked, well, we don't know the dates yet, may not even come into fruition in this case. But let's even take this a bit further. The Putschists in Niger, they have said that ECOWAS should give them 3 years to transition into a civilian government. Does it make any sense to you that the Putschists, the Kupis, are saying, look, give us 3 years for us to transition into a democratically elected government in the country? And ECOWAS, on their part, are saying, no, we don't have that time.
ECOWAS don't have that. How do I put it now?
They don't have a choice.
I don't think they can. Yeah, I don't think they can force the military guys in Niger. If they say that give them 3 years, I think ECOWAS should work with them. You know, because it's a sovereign country. A very sovereign country. If we say we are going to hand over in 3 years, and you said no, you must do it right now, then what happens? What are you going to do? And let's not forget one thing: ECOWAS itself cannot go just attacking Niger without the support of the African Union or the United Nations. I think what ECOWAS should do is to go ahead and work with the Kupis. At least they've said 3 years. That means they are ready to go. And then democracy will come, right? So let's work towards that and make sure that we keep to the date. You know, but forcing them, I don't think is going to be the right channels.
Talking about right channels, Mr. Macri, I want to get your thoughts on another area of this conversation. We both know that Nigeria will play a major role if there's going to be any military intervention in Niger. Nigeria would be a key player in that move. And you rightly said it. There's going to be a backing from AU, and AU has said that they don't support any military intervention there. The UN will have to be, you know, one of the players in that particular move as well. But all of this said, where I'm going with this is that, do you suppose that ECOWAS as it stands right now, because I've heard, you know, from people who support this move by saying that there's not going to be a war, that it's just a military intervention, that this is not a war thing, that people are just trying to redirect that conversation to make it big and huge. A similar thing was done in, I think, Sierra Leone when someone mentioned that. The one that ECOMOC did in Liberia, it was a civil war. It wasn't any small or tiny military intervention. That was a civil war in Liberia. That is not going to get to that level. That it's just a military intervention. That's what they said. Do you think that this is being deliberately played down?
We're just trying to play with words. The nomenclature does not really matter. You know, when a group of sub-regional body is telling a team of coupists that you better move, otherwise we'll intervene militarily. Military intervention. So what are you going to do? When you intervene, what do? You bring coffee and all of us going to sit down and drink it? Or you are going to shoot? You know, so... whichever way you look at it, I think it's going to be a battle, lives will be lost, you know, and it's basically a war. So I think that's what it is.
What if that's going to happen or likely happen, what then will be the implications for Nigeria?
Well, I think Nigeria will regret it. You know, Nigeria will seriously regret this, because that is not, you know, this is a mortal wound you want to inflict on yourself. You know, we have families in Niger. Our former president's mother is from Niger. You know, there are people that the trade that goes on in between the two countries, you know, for many hundreds of years. You know, we all look forward to Salah, where the ram is going to be slaughtered. All those rams are from Niger. You know, so I think you don't want to go into a situation where you are start. I would say I will call it burning your bridges, because if we go in there, we are going to destroy a lot of things that will be very, very hard, you know, to bring back to normal.
Indeed. Let's take some messages and some calls as we prepare to go on the show this morning. Let's see. I've got some messages here on X. Murphy says, Nigeria being locked as the number one man in ECOWAS should tread carefully. It's time Africans should come together and wage war against imperialists. That's Murphy J on X who dropped that. Murphy, thank you for sharing your thoughts. Ibikunle Ibrahim says that I should ask you to enlighten us on the mandates of ECOWAS. He wants to know, Mr. Macri.
It has come out with some points to agenda. I can't remember all of them offhand. But number one is to return back the government to democracy. Release the former president, etc. But what they are saying is that everything should revert back to what it was before the coup. You know, I think that's the mandate that they have right now. But it could have worked. We went to Mali. Remember, we sent former President Jonathan to go there and talk to them. And he said, my friend, go back to your country and go and correct yourself over there. And they are still in power. They are still in power. And I think there are people like them. So they don't even have 3 years. They didn't promise any 3 years to come back to civilian rule. I think it's something that ECOWAS really have to look at, because if ECOWAS not very careful, it might even lead to the disintegration of ECOWAS. It might, because if they don't have... people are wondering what actually, you know, is the use of ECOWAS.
Yeah.
Is it to perpetuate old leaders, or is it to, you know, start off... a better development in the sub-region.
Indeed. Mr. Dennis, let's leave you here this morning. Again, I'd like to very specially thank you for giving us your time, despite the fact that you've got a bit of a cold. Well, thank you so much again for joining us on the Crossfire today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been wonderful. Thank you so much, Mr. Dennis Amakri, former Deputy Director of the State Security Service. He joined us via Zoom this morning, virtually, and he got a cold, but then he said, no, Sheriff, would have this conversation. I'm interested in this conversation. Thank you. Lagos, we'll leave it here this morning. Thank you all for being a part of it. Coming up next after the headline news is Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. It's been great doing this with you. Many thanks to Zainab Yakin, my producer, who put this together. And Babatunde Ibrahim, Babatunde Absalam, Olamide Fadoju. These are, background guys doing wonderful things to make sure that you hear and also see this show every day, every weekday. I'm Sheriff. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Bye for now.